This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Jake and Amir, two Jews that you can't forget. In 2010, they were big on the internet. And all things considered, their success is more than fair. Now here's one more effort for only positive motivations, they swear.
Segment.
Another podcast.
Segment.
Each app different from the last.
Segment.
It's the Swiss Army Knife of shows.
Now
meet your two emphatic hosts.
Segment.
I do like you having a problem during the theme song that's solved by the end. Basically, yeah. It's solved by the chorus.
Right. We're always doing something, and then I hear the segments, and I put my hands up like somebody's lifting them up. I'm a four-year-old, and my parents are swinging me.
You were having a hot flash.
I had post-menopausal drip.
Segments solved it.
We're still in the fucking studio together.
In the studio, in the lab, in the kitchen, cooking up that sauce.
Yeah, okay. This is the platonic ideal of segments.
That's
right. This is the perfect,
that's right,
like, iteration of everything coming together. And to commemorate this momentous occasion, I'm going to stump you. I'm going to win for the first time ever. Poetry or no?
Interesting.
I like the confidence. I worked hard on these words.
You did.
Right. I muddied the water to the point where it'll be a complete crapshoot / guessing game. If I don't win this version of the game, I will quit.
Really?
Not just the game, but the podcast, the HeadGum, it's all going away.
Because I can't remember super well, but I don't even think you've come close.
No. You always got it in one. Mm-hmm. You never eliminated the good one and it's mine.
Right.
Then you got it down to two and you sort of know which of the last two is mine as well.
Yeah.
So I was able to come up with a hook that I think will help me.
All right.
We should say this is segments, a podcast, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm 0 for 3 so far.
Yep.
I tried doing a theme like Los Angeles. I tried to do potpourri, any
poem. You
tried
Ha-Un. You tried Los Angeles.
Un, correct.
And you tried Sadie. That was your best poem, by
really,
the way.
My first
Still
one.
Love Sadie.
So this one, I thought the theme should be Shakespeare. These are three poems by William Shakespeare, or are they?
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, it's kind of hard to understand. It's not really English, but they're all kind of short.
This is a gap in my
poetry.
Yeah. Like, I definitely prefer modern poetry.
Yes. To Bill.
Yeah.
And I spent some time on this. I would, like, write a draft and wait. I'm like, no, this line is not right.
Okay. And that is what it takes.
Yeah.
I think we've at least learned that we're not just going to... Any of the poems that we farted out were sniffed out. My last poem, also, I... worked on it for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I jokingly instantly knew, but then I fucking made a U-turn, an emotional U-turn.
Yeah, because you were like, well, it's really
Ends
good.
Well Yet by William Shakespeare.
Ends Well Yet. That's almost certainly not you, but let's go on.
Then let's start with that other one.
Ends Well Yet is it's ends if it's not well. If this is you, that's a very poetic turn of phrase, and I love it. Okay.
By the way, there were iterations of this where I kind of cheated, but I got rid of those lines. I'm like, let me borrow this line from this Hamlet.
Oh, asshole. Like, yeah.
But right. I didn't. Okay? I fucking didn't.
All right.
Ends Well Yet by Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
I would be too. Because I am going to try to use how you're reading and what your body language is.
Yeah. We're playing poker, not poetry. Ends Well Yet. Perilous brothers rate and scheme, bargaining with death and failing. Merrily, sisters scud far off their last breath, trading their senses for wailing. Draw nearest your garments, then, that needeth to mend, for all that begins must needeth to end.
Okay. That's
sigh no more, ladies.
Hold on. Okay. Let me digest this one a little bit, because there was one line that sounded like you a little bit, and it was merrily the ladies do something because
merrily sisters scuttle off.
It reminds me a little bit of traipsing as he carved.
style.
All right.
Okay.
Next poem is called.
Full Fathom 5.
Full Fathom 5.
By William Shakespeare.
Maybe.
Or is it? Full Fathom 5, thy father lies. Of his bones are coral made. Those are pearls that were his eyes. Nothing of him that doth fade. But doth suffer a sea change into something rich and strange. Sea nymphs hourly ring his knell. Ding dong. Hark! Now I hear them. Ding dong bell.
Okay.
Sigh no more, ladies.
Sigh no more, ladies.
Sigh no more, ladies. Sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. One foot in sea and one on shore. To one thing constant never. Then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey, nanny, nanny.
Ooh, second one's you.
Full Fathom 5? You don't think that's a unique phrase or kind of random?
Is it you?
Do you want me to read anything again? Do you want to just trust your instinct?
I'm going to trust my instinct because the first poem moved me, and the third poem moved me. The second one did nothing. For
Full
me.
Fathom 5?
Full Fathom 5. And if you wrote one or three, I do commend you because I thought they were great.
So let me read Full Fathom 5 to you again.
Yeah.
Just so you can. You don't have to commit yet.
Yeah.
Full Fathom 5 by William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Full Fathom 5, thy father lies. Of his bones are coral made. Those are pearls that were his eyes. Nothing of him that doth fade.
Yeah, but like that doesn't make sense.
I didn't fucking finish. This is the kind of shit that pisses me off. Because I'm really not done. And you wouldn't do that to Will Shakespeare, nor should you do that to me.
I wouldn't do it to Bill.
If this was, in fact, my fucking poem, which I'm not even telling you it is or isn't yet. But doth suffer a sea change into something rich and strange. Sea nymphs hourly ring his knell. Ding dong. Hark, now I hear them. Ding dong bell.
Now that I hear it a second time, I'm so convinced that it's you.
Wow. You don't even want to hear Ends Well Yet or
I would love to hear Ends Well Yet again because I thought it was incredible.
Okay, are you locking in
yes,
Full
I'm
Fathom
locking
5?
It in.
Full Fathom 5 is by William Shakespeare.
Really?
That's correct.
Wow.
So now let's go into round two. Uncharted territory for
me. Oh my God.
For the complete win.
I'm absolutely floored.
Now you're deciding between Sigh No More Ladies and Ends Well Yet. This is just for a bonus chance for my joy.
Wow.
Ends Well Yet.
Yeah.
Or do you want to hear the other one?
No, I want to hear the same in the same order.
Ends well yet.
Yeah.
Perilous, brothers rate and scheme, bargaining with death and failing. Merrily, sisters scud far off their last breath, trading their senses for wailing. Draw nearest your garments, then, that needeth to mend, for all that begins must needeth to end.
I still, I like it. I like it.
Sigh no more, ladies. Sigh no more, ladies. Sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. One foot in sea and one on shore, till one thing constant never. Then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey nonny nonny.
I have to say, I really like both of these poems.
So this is more of a coin flip than anything. Are you 51-49 of any of them?
No, I feel like both of them have something that I think could be you.
Is it the hey nani nani?
No, like it's things like that that make me feel like Amir wouldn't have come up with it.
Right.
Hey nani nani.
Yeah.
But then...
Does ends well yet have anything?
Ends well yet. Like, I just think that that's a really beautiful turn of phrase. And I feel like you wouldn't have come up with that. But like, I also really thought that the sea one sucked.
So maybe Shakespeare just kind of.
Like, I might just like you as a poet.
More than William Shakespeare. That's cool.
Yeah. I guess I'll say, read me that first one again.
Ends well yet.
Ends well yet.
Casey, do you have an inkling?
I think I'm leaning towards the second one being you.
Nani nani.
Nani nani, yeah.
Okay. Ends well yet. Perilous brothers rate and scheme, bargaining with death and failing.
Yeah, that's too good to be you, I think. But then go on.
Merrily, sisters scud far off last their breath, trading their senses for wailing.
Mm-hmm.
Draw nearest your garments, then, that needeth to mend.
Yeah,
for
that
all
could
that
be
begins
you.
Must needeth to end.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'll say the Bonnie, the Nani Nani is you.
Nani Nani is me?
Yeah.
Sigh No More, Ladies is by William Shakespeare.
Wow.
Ends well yet.
Is Amir Blumenthal original. That was actually really
it's
good.
Really good.
I thought it was a great poem.
Yeah! Dab on him.
Wow.
Hit him with a nay-nay.
Hit him with a nani nani.
Hey, nani nani. Hey, nani nani nani.
Wow.
And all I did was put two other Shakespeare poems together.
I want to know
it
everything.
Fucking hit. That's, it really hit.
What were you saying with Ends Well Yet?
Well, I looked into Shakespeare poems, and some of them were very long sonnets, and some of them were like long speeches. And I'm like, okay, let me read some short ones. What are they about? And they're all like love, war, death, life. I'm like, okay, this first one is about ladies. The second one is about love or father. And then this last one will be about war or death.
I see.
And so you sort of read an early iteration when I say, oh, Hounds of War. You said you like saw that on my computer.
Oh, yeah, once. When we were recording something else, I saw...
Hounds of War, uh-huh. Which is another phrase. So I'm like, okay, let me get rid of this one. Also, this poem had a line from Hamlet, which is to sleep to die, perchance to dream. Or to die to sleep, perchance to dream.
Yeah.
And I ask Avital, and she's like, no, that's kind of like, that'll tip him off because it's from Hamlet.
It wouldn't
like,
have.
So like if I did to die to sleep, perchance to dream, you would be like, oh, that sounds Shakespearean.
Yeah. But then that also, could also, like, I mean, I only remember that line because it was in Billy Madison.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's a famous line at this
right,
point.
Apparently.
But then, like, would that, like, make you think, oh, he did write that or he did borrow it? So I'm like, let me get rid of any Shakespeare borrowing.
Good.
This is just, actually, I did search certain words like sisters scud far off.
Yeah.
Scud is like another word for walking.
Wow.
So I used the words.
So yeah, like how scud. Did you find the word scud?
I searched Shakespearean walking and I found scud.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's really good. You really did go deep.
Yeah.
You went deep.
Yeah.
All right. Congrats, man.
Perilous brothers rate and scheme. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Rate, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a nothing.
That's
true. For sure.
But it was the bargaining with death and failing.
Yeah.
That got me.
Yeah. And that was originally not that line because it didn't rhyme. The original version was perilous brothers rate and scheme, bargaining toward death she.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
And so then you're punching it up. It's actually working.
Yeah, I punched it up and made it rhyme with wailing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was afraid that all your sounds of woe into hey, nani, nani would be like you said, that's not anything I would have thought of.
Right, right. But then I didn't think that Ends Well Yet is a title that could come out of you.
Yeah, at first it was All's Well That Ends Well.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'm like,
bad.
That doesn't make sense. Or that's like a famous phrase. And right. I just said Ends Well.
Yeah.
Then I added Yet. Ends Well Yet.
Wow. We should write a book of poetry.
No. I really don't think that would be good. I thought that poem sucked.
I thought it was good.
And it's the last one I'll ever write.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you found your voice.
Really? Because I do have some other drafts.
It's Shakespearean.
Good. Hey, Nani Nani was me too. And I also thought you thought Blythe and Bonnie would give it away as a Shakespeare thing because like that I would never know that phrase.
Yeah. No, Blythe and Bonnie. I kind of knew that one. So I was like,
yeah.
But in my head, I felt like that second poem was almost like littered with random, like I think there was a hark in there.
Yeah.
It almost didn't feel like it was from the same era as the first two.
Oh, interesting.
So like that one felt like it was a modern poem that you tried to make Shakespeare-y by like just throwing in random words.
And Full Fathom Five, I'm jealous of that title because that doesn't, again, it doesn't mean anything, but it feels real.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to come up with something like Five.
The alliteration is something that you and I both sometimes do in poems because we like the cadence and that, I guess, reads as poetry for us.
Also these rhyme, which I think we've never done before.
Right. Yeah. The rhymes probably hurt me a little bit.
Yeah. Because all three of them rhyme.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're tied.
We're tied.
Or died.
One poem each. Call me Amir Shakespeare.
No.
Okay.
Shakespeare.
Nice. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness.
It's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's a
non-movement
movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's more fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitnessnah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most saving of it yours. The average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Handsome.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
To a changed show. A better show,
oh
I think.
Oh, my God.
Ultimately.
Jesus.
You're falling apart.
I'm not falling apart. The studio's falling apart.
Falling apart. The
studio's not falling apart.
You took it apart.
I took it
upon myself to become the poet laureate of Silver Lake.
Stop with your turn of phrase. You know, Casey pointed out, you kind of just Frankenstein that together from other Shakespearean poems and
how
words
so?
And stuff.
There's
I don't know how he did it. I don't know, fucking Google in AI. It doesn't really count, okay? It doesn't count. That's not an original work.
If anything,
all.
It doesn't count because I emulated somebody else's style. I didn't create a style of my own.
Right.
But you didn't argue that.
I'm arguing it now.
All right, segment two. Let's throw it to an old school one we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
Back on our last podcast, we used to do some Q&A lightning round.
Yes, that's right.
Fans, friends, acquaintances, lend me your ear. I, Laertes of Guatemala. Shit, it's
to die, to dream,
for chance to
sleep.
These are questions that were submitted to us by our Instagram followers.
That's good. On the Jake and Amir Insta.
Yeah, we hopped on stories. If you guys aren't following, there's a Jake and Amir Instagram account, so you can follow it. Sometimes ask us questions so fucking uniquely great. Like, for example, Stolen Sheep wants to know, what are our top three fruits?
Ooh. I think about this a lot.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why do you think about it a lot?
Because my daughter's trying food for the first time. Oh, and it's kind of wonderful to see her like certain fruits that I love.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder what makes a picky eater. Like, does it start now? Or do you think, like, she'll just eat anything now and then at age six be like, I don't like raspberries.
We're going to find out. I think that at a certain point they start to understand, like, you know, saying no and becoming their own person. So they might say no just because, you know, just to introduce boundaries, I think. But right now she eats literally everything. And I also think that whatever this method that we're doing helps them, you know, eat and accept more foods.
Were you a picky eater as a child?
As a child, I literally would only eat chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese.
Okay. So that's
I had cookies
picky.
Every morning for breakfast.
Yeah.
And every single night, I either had Kraft macaroni and cheese, Annie's macaroni and cheese, or dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets.
What if they were just chicken nuggets but not dinosaur-shaped?
I'm sure I would accept that. At a certain point, I started eating fish sticks because they were kind of nugget-esque, and I ate it. But, like, yeah, my mom would cook food for the entire family. like pasta, yeah. grilled chicken. Mm-hmm. My dad would make meatloaf yeah. or meatballs. I had a special dinner every night, and it was macaroni and cheese or chicken nuggets.
I wonder why 7-year-olds can subsist off that for 8 years. But like if we tried it now, we'd have
diarrhea.
Dead.
Yeah. yeah. I remember one time I went to my aunt's house for like a taco night, but I wouldn't eat anything.
You arrive with a little Ziploc bag of Kraft macaroni and cheese. Actually, I'll be eating this.
I was so picky that the only thing I would eat was a hard shell taco with chopped up cucumbers in it. I still remember it because it was delicious.
That's probably more shameful than the dropping out of college thing. Let's get your parents back in.
Yeah.
I'd like
yeah.
to ask
Why
them.
Didn't you make Jake eat food? I just said I was allergic to peanut butter until I was 21.
And you believe that shit?
But now it's one of my favorite foods. So yeah, I was very picky as a kid.
So top three fruits?
Well, I mean, strawberries, the goat for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not in my top three.
Not in your top three?
No.
I think there's a nostalgic factory for the strawberry, mm-hmm. or factor, so excuse me.
No, you got me saying that.
If you're really thinking about fruits, I think you're thinking about the...
It could just be any three fruits, I think.
No, it can't just be any three fruits. Yeah. It can't be any three fruits, because you think about blueberries.
Yeah.
That's nice because there is no waste. There's right. no effort. You don't have to peel into... An orange is a good fruit, but...
There's seeds, there's peeling, yeah. There's
it's a high-effort fruit. Watermelon yeah. is delicious, and that's probably in your top three, mistakenly so.
It is, yeah.
Because what do? Well, you have an entire watermelon, mm-hmm. you have to chop it, yep. you've got to cube it. Mm-hmm. Once it's out there, it's great, but it's the effort. Same with pineapple.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's strawberry, banana, and excuse me, I'm almost done.
Banana also a peel.
Yeah, but that's a pretty easy peel, and it actually works as a handle for the fruit yeah. as you're eating it,
right.
which you can't say the same thing about an orange peel or a cutie or a nectarine. Yeah. Peach is pretty good, but there's the danger. I'm not even close to done.
Lightning
I don't know why
round.
I don't know why you're bored.
Wow, next question.
The danger of the pit, I was going to say, chipping a tooth. It's blackberries number three for me.
Blackberries?
Strawberries. Banana, did I say?
I don't know. You said a lot.
Blackberries.
Blackberries in my
Kumquats
top
Kumquats are
three.
Good.
Yeah, kiwis are not going to make it for me. Banana number one, I have one every morning.
Yep.
It's the perfect breakfast. I like the flavor of it too. Banana bread, also delicious.
Yeah,
banana
delicious
muffins.
For sure.
Watermelon too. The Wrong. Only melon that doesn't have any negative to me. It's just I eat it and I have an insatiable appetite. It's not too tart. It's not too sweet. Mm. It's just chef's kiss.
Yeah.
And I'll go blueberry third because I don't really eat blueberries, but I do love the flavor. A blueberry muffin, a blueberry waffle, a blueberry pancake, blueberry smoothie.
Yeah.
I like what it provides, and the color is awesome too.
Yeah,
it's not, you rarely eat blue things.
Blue, yeah, that's great.
So those are my top three.
All right, good.
You got
very
one?
Good. How are your respective marriages? Says Anne Epiphany.
Fine.
Let's go. Let's dive in there.
No, that's good. It's
How
fine.
Is your marriage? You've been married. I notice you're not wearing the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough. It's a work in progress. I've been focusing on the poetry more
marriage,
than anything.
Marriage is hard. It is an uphill battle.
Yeah. I always go to bed hangry, and I wake up famished.
Yeah. Let me tell, it's not feeding you.
No. It's a cold shower. It's a cold sweat.
No, I've been married for 5 years, going to be 6 years.
Yeah.
We had our, like, 10-year of being together anniversary recently.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. What can you say?
It's nice to have a partner in life. We might go on a honeymoon eventually. That's an update, but
yeah.
I don't know where and when yet.
I was going to say, because you're no gifts, just contribute to the honeymoon fund.
Yeah.
And then you didn't have one planned.
Yeah.
It was kind of just felt like I was just giving you cash.
Yeah. Did you give me cash?
Yeah, Venmo requested it back last week.
I didn't see that. I didn't
yeah.
notice that. But I did see that $350 were taken from our shared joint bank
yes,
account.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That was for the wedding gift reimbursement plan.
Yeah, it was a reimbursement because I haven't seen you go on a honeymoon. And if you're doing something like, oh, we're going to go to Catalina, like
that doesn't count. Yeah.
yeah, like we're going to go to Big Bear. No, not for my
$350.
Yeah, I'd like to see you go international. Where are you going to go?
Potentially Japan, potentially Hawaii, potentially Italy.
Wow.
Basically wherever the White Lotus takes place, we're interested in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks, damn, man.
Three very different locations.
Appreciate it.
Is it going to take place in Japan in season three?
I believe it's Thailand or East Asia in season three.
All right.
Would you guys ever join Ben Schwartz for his improv shows? Ask TJ Quintillion.
No. No chance.
What if he asked you to?
I would have to say no.
Really?
I would be way too afraid. Yeah. Yeah.
It would be terrifying. But if he asked me to, I probably would try to fart something out on stage.
Yeah.
It might be embarrassing, but at the very least, I'll get paid to go to Denver.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think I put more of more stock into me being embarrassed in front of Ben, or me like letting him down.
It's interesting because we've never taken improv classes.
Yeah.
But we've seen improv, and when I see it, I'm like, I feel like I can do it because I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like if I was like a professional athlete in basketball, I'm like, I think I can fart around in football.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a professional football player, but like I can run really fast and catch the ball.
Right.
I'm like, I'm funny and I do bits with Jake, so I feel like I can understand how to do improv.
Yeah. But like, I mean, he goes with three other people, four other people, and you're getting tapped into scenes all the time.
I don't know how to jump do in. The minutia like that.
Yeah, I think that would be really tough. I think if we could go on tour, me, you, and Ben, and it's like some hybrid improv crowd work, whatever, us doing bits, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I would love that.
But you don't want to be thrown onto like the dream
If Colton
team.
Dunn taps me into a scene and sits me down in a chair, I'm like, I'm afraid.
I don't know.
I'm scared.
No.
What do you think is funny?
No.
What guy should I be in this one?
You're Ben, a
dog. tap, run to edit.
Yeah, I don't know the rules per se, and when it all comes together, it's very impressive. But I feel like I can be the fourth best improviser on stage without ruining the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I might be wrong, though.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think you would ruin the show.
Yeah. It might be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Ben should give us a shot.
Top three vegetables...
to own by a mere William Shakespeare. Corn, who goes there?
This is Callum Dunlop just says, come to New Zealand, ? What do you think about that?
That could be a good honeymoon as well.
Yeah, that'd be
especially
great.
If we're going in like the winter.
You and I basically, we've done a lot of honeymoons. We've done a lot of really romantic trips that we should have brought our partners on.
We've gone to Hawaii. We've gone to Amsterdam.
Yeah. Remember when we were in Portugal?
Yes, that was beautiful.
It was lovely.
It was lovely. We felt the need to Eskimo kiss after sharing a rosé at a vineyard.
We've been
to a vineyard.
Yes, we've been to a vineyard. That's true.
With Ben.
That's true.
Who has the higher vertical leap, says TJ Boogie?
Definitely you.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you.
No, I don't do because of all of the years of foot injuries.
Yeah.
I was only doing low impact stuff for my feet. I think I've lost my ability to jump.
Yeah.
And you play basketball.
Run. Yeah, but just because I play basketball doesn't mean I can jump high. Can you jump over a tennis net?
I honestly I think the mental is a block for me over the physical.
All right.
Like maybe if there was a ton of cushions on the other side, right, I would attempt it. But it's
that.
Not worth it to me. I'm too injury prone.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't. You at our old office, you like remember there was that loading dock. And you were like, I think I can jump up on this.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think I can box
like
jump
stand,
this.
Yeah, box jump the loading dock.
Yeah. Like even when I do box jumps at the gym, I'm on like the 18-inch one or the 16-inch one.
Right, the lowest one.
The lowest one. I don't like the idea of hurting myself.
So you think you could jump higher than me?
Dost thou think my
Arabian witch sharpened still? I feel like I could do improvised Shakespeare at this fucking point. Like, I got the improv, I got the Shakespeare.
Uh-huh. Yeah, There's no
world where you can't throw me into Verona and I can outwit/cun anybody within my reach.
Will you ever do a live show in London again? But I'll one up that. And will we ever do a live show again?
How about a live segment? Somebody asked any plan on doing a live segments, and what do you think that would look like?
Oh, I mean, that would be
great. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Shank Nanigans. How do you guys think a live segments would go?
I mean, we'd have to do poetry or noetry.
At this point, it's a classic.
Yeah.
Would we do a mystery guest with somebody off stage? That would be really impressive because we'd have to fly said
guest out.
Yeah. That would be a lot of work for the mystery guest.
Yeah.
If I find your second grade teacher and fly her to Minnesota in February.
I mean, I would have to guess it was like, I mean, I would just know that it was either
a
Ben,
close friend.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Somebody that would come and also that we could bring out on stage.
Right. Or it would be an LA or New York show.
Oh, right, right. I guess I was imagining it being in London.
Winnipeg.
Like this person has.
Yeah.
We could. I feel like we could definitely plan a good live segments. We just go through all of the best ones we've ever done, or maybe ones that we didn't want to do because they're too high effort.
Probably easier than the If I Were You live shows, which would require us reading a bunch of questions and deciding which one is the funniest to answer live.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we could also do something, since we wouldn't necessarily have to release it as a podcast, we could do like a majorly visual thing and just have like a big big screen too.
Oh, interesting. 50 like tweet live.
Ooh, now that's good. Yeah. That's very good. Where would we do it is the question. Not New York or LA. It's got to be
Toronto.
T-Dot. I love that.
The Six. Mm-hmm. Favorite form of cold weather precipitation, asks J.A. Fine for.
What the options are like?
Wintry mix?
Sleet?
Sleet?
How is it not snow?
It's got to be snow because it's got to be tied. It's dry and wide.
It's got to be snow.
It's
obviously
nice.
It's snow.
Yeah. You got a question for us?
I'm getting married in July. How do I make the day all about me? A lot of good marriage questions, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the vows are a big part. That's your sort of time to shine. That's the one I took the most seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Avital's mom planned nearly the entire thing, but the vows were like specifically my purview. I had to write and potentially memorize what to say.
And your vows were great. Yours didn't make me cry, but Avital's made me cry.
Yeah, you mentioned that a lot.
Yeah. Hers were gorgeous.
Thank you.
I took her aside after the wedding, and I said, he's not the one for you.
I heard what you said, and he did not. I thought I was going to have a chance to intervene, but I feel like that's not a Jewish custom because I said,
They didn't say anything about, like, if anyone has a reason for they not to be wed.
Have you ever heard that at an actual wedding? I feel like that's only in movies and stuff.
I have heard it at an actual wedding, and I feel like I remember just being like, "This, I'm so nervous. Like, why would anyone say anything?
It's please. Favorite Simpsons episode. Do you have one? Mark Pergola. I have one. Do you have one?
I don't know if I have one. I mean, there were so many that I liked. I think maybe I'll say Monorail.
That's a good one.
That one was up there for me when I was younger.
Conan wrote it.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. I wonder if that's why it's
Scratchy Land.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good stuff.
They go to Itchy and Scratchy Land. It's sort of them skewering Disneyland.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
You know what's weird? It's like I grew up watching Simpsons, I want to say as much as you. I was also obsessed with it. I watched it every single week. I watched all the reruns. I loved Simpsons. I had the books.
Yeah.
I had the dolls. But like I can't remember it the way that you can.
Yeah.
It's like it's not a part of my memory as much anymore.
But is it a part of your sense of humor?
It must be. Yeah. But I like you can. You know all of the episodes. You know the jokes.
Yeah, like Simpsons trivia.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that.
Well, I used to VHS record them and like give them titles and rewatch it even beyond. I went like above and beyond.
Wow.
So maybe that's why.
It's got to be. Okay, you're 18 again. What job would you do now, Alex Sundin?
Probably student. I would probably go to college, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 18 is pretty
18.
Young.
Yeah,
I wasn't
young.
Equipped to do anything yet.
Would you? Is there a different job? I guess if you went back now, you had all of your knowledge, you're 18, you would still go to college?
Is it 2024?
Ooh. Let's say no. You're going back in time.
Okay. I would invest in Amazon, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Whole Foods. I would invest in Apple. I would put my entire life savings into...
How much money do you have when you're 18?
$91.
Yeah.
But I'm making 3,000x by the time I reach this age. And then in 2024, I diversify. I go straight to small market caps.
So no job?
You're
just a day trader?
I'm just giving myself investment advice. I put 10% aside in high yield, high risk, low reward index funds.
I thought about this recently. Like even I guess it would, going back that far wouldn't make sense, but I was like, if I had a time machine, I went back to 2020.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't know if I could make a ton of money.
Right.
Like, I don't.
You
think
haven't
I
been
know
paying it, attention.
I haven't
to
been paying
on.
Enough attention to the stock market. Right. I guess Bitcoin is the one thing that I.
But even that went high and then dropped. Yeah. Crypto
so,
for sure.
I would be. Yeah. It would just be like, okay, so like buy Apple stock, which I'm pretty sure was really expensive then.
Yeah.
Also,
I think Tesla and Nvidia specifically, which is like this software that powers all the AI, is going crazy.
Oh, again. Nvidia. That's good. That's a good tip.
It's a good tip for your 18-year-old self.
Yeah, for sure.
But this guy wants to know what job you'd have at age 18.
Job at 18.
I think the spirit of the question is, if you're 18 today, what would you go into?
I see.
Maybe like he's 18.
Right.
I feel like it would have to be lean AI something, like AI
bot.
Editor or illustrator or like, because there is, it's not as simple as I know how to use it and then it just happens. It's like you still have to know how to use the tool.
Yeah.
Even though the tool is very powerful.
Right. I do think it's going to replace everybody.
Yeah.
So you have to work with it, not against it.
I liken it to like when the computer came out, it's like, okay, illustrators still exist now. They just use a different tool.
Yeah.
But like the hand illustrators maybe took a hit.
Right. Yeah.
So editors, writers, artists. Uh-huh. Are now going to have to use this new tool. So you might as well like get in now, because I don't know how to use this stuff either.
Right.
I see like AI samples online. I'm like, I don't know how to sign up for this. I don't know if this is like only for a certain select few people.
Yeah.
I didn't dig into it.
Me, I'd be a fitness influencer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you'd do 1,000 jumping jacks in a day.
I would look hot, be rich, and have an awesome apartment.
I would be Mr. Beast's beast.
Yeah.
I would fucking say,
I would have a YouTube on it. I'd have a YouTube.
Into space.
Yes. I would be like, you're 100. I'm going to put 100-year-old in space.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the oldest and youngest
person in space.
In space.
I ate 1,000 donuts and this is what happened next.
Yeah.
I drank so much I died.
Yeah.
And it's just juice.
Right.
Like kind of like when you got food poisoning.
Exactly, right. Exactly, right.
All right, one last question.
Yes.
Who has the highest vertical leap? Oh, wait, we already answered that one.
What's an American city you still haven't been to that you want to visit?
I haven't.
This is also a good question
time.
For where we should have our first segment's live show.
Yeah, well, that was a Canadian city, I thought. Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto.
You said you'd never been to North Dakota.
Yeah, that's never been to North Dakota.
I think
Dakota.
You should watch Fargo and go there.
I should, yeah.
I think you should watch Fargo and move there. I think you should go there in the winter.
I would love to. Yeah.
I think you should freeze to death in Fargo.
Yeah, I got it.
Die in North Dakota. Uh-huh. This is your last day, and it's your last state of being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, bye bye. 50
and
up. 50
at the
down.
End of the day.
All
well
yet. That take all your garments that needeth to mend.
Yes.
For all that begins must needeth to end. Now, when you heard that.
It was gorgeous.
It moved
It was
you.
Gorgeous. And I wonder what AI tool you used to write it. Because it wasn't just you. It wasn't just you. You were Googling. Yes, you were Googling.
Yes.
You were copying. You were pasting.
You
were
around.
Changing one word for another.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I get it now. But you want me to go and bargain with death and fail.
Correct.
In Bismarck.
In
I
Bismarck,
see.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Haven't spent too much time in Dover.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to spend a week in Delaware to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who says no to that?
Maybe Avital will give you a hall pass.
Can I have a hall pass for anyone in Delaware?
Yeah. Would you take that bet? Avital says you can have a hall pass for the weekend, but you have to spend it in Dover.
Interesting. And if you don't use it, there have to be repercussions. Like, I wouldn't just fly to Dover and try to have sex.
Yeah.
I'd be like, and she's like, and if you don't, then you owe me like $100,000. I'm like, oh shit, now I gotta go to fucking
right.
Delaware.
I don't even know
where I'd go.
Do you think that you could have sex in Dover in 3 days? 3 day weekend.
You think I could bend over in Dover?
Nice.
No, I don't think I could just because at my age/current, I have this muskiness about mm-hmm. me these days where it's kind of almost an anti-pheromone that repels
right.
me.
Right, yes.
Could I use an app?
You're decrepit.
Yeah, could I use an app?
You could use an app.
I feel like with an app, I don't know, it's still really hard.
Yeah, really
Even
hard.
At the height of my powers, we're going out,
yeah.
being a little more noticeable slash did live shows and like was the best version of myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't a 100% success rate. And now you're putting me at this age in a smaller city.
Dover.
Giving me one weekend. I mean, I could potentially go out on a few dates, but who's to say what will end up happening?
You'd have to fall in love. It wouldn't just be like a fling.
You'd
have
to woo someone in Delaware.
Match on Friday, go on a date on Saturday, say you need to see her again. Sunday afternoon delight.
Yeah. No, I'm saying no. I can't do that.
Okay.
And nor do I want to.
Cool. That'd be a fun segment, though, to try.
Me explaining this to Avital. You see, it's like a segment, though.
Yeah.
So it's like sometimes you come up with poetry. Sometimes I try really, really hard to cheat on you.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
It'll be in Delaware.
So odds are nothing will happen. Have you spent any time in Delaware?
I mean, I don't think so. I think I've only been driven through on the, like... I've spent time in Maryland, and I think that's really probably the closest I ever got to just going through it.
Yeah. You've been to Andover, but not in Dover.
That's right.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Wow.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Funny.
All right, last segment.
Yes, yes, yes.
You came up with potential log lines for films that don't exist yet.
Yes.
And we're going to see if we can flesh them out into a fully formed idea.
Yes. Ideally, you are going to give me kind of like a synopsis based on this tagline.
Okay.
Not a log line. This is a tagline. This is what goes on the poster.
Under the title.
Yeah, under the title. You can title the movie. You can cast the movie. You can give the synopsis.
This is me sort of being an AI.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love is a battlefield. Great. Literally.
Oh, yeah. I think you don't need the literally, right?
Really?
Yeah, because everything is sort of a double entendre.
Uh-huh. Okay, so yeah. So we'll lose the literally. Yeah.
Love is a battlefield. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I like the song. Love is a battlefield. Yeah. Could be for the trailer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like Top Gun.
A remix, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like a Top Gun, but like the lady that Tom Cruise. Did you see the new Top Gun?
Yeah.
Like, what if she's like now trying out to be like a co-fighter pilot?
Oh, that's
so
good.
It's like him versus, instead of the enemy, it's him versus her in a way.
Right.
So that's Top Gun 3.
Yeah.
Maverick versus, I forget her name. What's a female goose?
A gander?
Yeah, Maverick versus gander. We are young. Heartache to heartache.
And they could call it Top Bun.
That's good, because she has a man bun.
And, yeah, so she has a man bun. It's just a bun.
At that point, yeah.
She has a bun because that's how she gets the flight helmet on.
That's cool. She has a top bun in the oven.
Yeah, that's good.
We are bun. I mean, she does sail in the fucking Top Gun, too. You remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Trying to figure out how to sail.
Right.
She's like, ugh, let me show you. You gotta go like this.
So they're co-pilots.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've already got the stars. It's Tom Cruise and whoever the lady was.
Yeah.
And it's pretty perfect.
What was her name? The lady in Top Gun. Do you remember, Casey? Jennifer Coolidge? Garner? Jennifer something?
Not Coolidge.
Jennifer something.
Connelly.
Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly. Yeah. Yes.
All right, cool.
Okay, so Connelly's attached.
Super attached, actually. That's when she's literally attached to the film, regardless of if it goes.
Yeah, that's when you
not.
Stapled her hand to the script.
She
can't go anywhere without it.
She's handcuffed.
The perfect crime can only be solved by someone imperfect.
That's all on the poster. The perfect crime can only be solved by someone imperfect.
Yeah. Before it was, the perfect crime can only be solved by an imperfect man. Uh-huh. But I wanted to leave you room in case it wasn't a man or even a human.
Interesting. What is an imperfect man? It's a detective, but he has a lazy eye, which is what Columbo
is. A vice.
Yeah.
Somebody with a vice.
Yeah. An inherent vice.
Right.
But that's most like detective movies. It's like John McClane, like he's a drunk. Who,
yeah,
like,
so you come up with your Die Hard, your John Wicks.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What's this one guy's fatal flaw? He's a detective, but yeah, like Sherlock Holmes, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got one leg or something.
No, it can't be like that. We
blind?
Can't be ableist.
Blind?
No, I don't think that I think it should
be. What about
be
a deaf detective?
Deaf detective?
Detective. So he can only see.
I'm not calling that person imperfect, though, because that's really problematic.
So then what the fuck is imperfect without offending anyone?
I don't know. He's obsessed with balloons. He's a lunar.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, he gets off to balloons.
That's actually really offensive, though.
Really?
To a lot
yes,
because
I'm fetish shaming.
Yeah.
Kink shaming, that's what it's called.
Yeah,
okay,
you can't do
so
that
what's
either.
Okay.
Calling someone
vice.
An imperfect man is like I feel like my back's against the wall here. What am I supposed to do?
I'm not perfect. What is that? What do you say?
And then for the trailer there we're playing I'm not a
I don't
perfect
need you to
person.
Yeah. I'll deal with I'll
and the reason is you.
Different song. Right?
I think it's the same song.
Okay. But I'm going to deal with the soundtrack because I have to talk to Warner.
We have
to get the rights. It's not. It's like, it's a whole bunch of like legal mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get you involved with those negotiations.
Because of your talent.
You like if you say we need the song in the trailer, that really cuts us off at the knees. That fucks our leverage up right then and there.
The perfect crime can only be committed or solved by
solved.
Some...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, committed is pretty good too, though.
Oh, so the guy is also the assassin, or
yeah. Oh, what if his imperfection is that he's a criminal? So he's
good.
Like, I'm solving this crime, but I actually committed it.
Is that what Memento is, where it's like a guy's trying to solve a mystery and it's like him, but he doesn't remember that he did the crime to begin
with?
And
he's leaving himself clues?
Do you remember that at all? Memento?
My memory of Memento is he's like Joey Pants is using him to kill people that he's like saying like that guy killed your wife,
so
but he does it
and
over.
He forgets it.
And he forgets.
But is he also the guy trying to solve the crime? like a two-faced situation.
I don't remember if he's trying to solve it. I think he wakes up and he's like, who am I? What are these tests?
He's trying to figure out who he is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want the criminal to be the detective.
Yeah.
I browned out and committed a crime, and then it's like, I'm fucking trying to solve this mystery, and it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be the Bourne identity, too.
Okay.
Saving the world is his latest homework assignment.
Womp, womp. So... it's a kid's movie. He's 12, but he's also fucking Batman or something.
But
so
he's not perfect.
Yeah. Nobody's perfect. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll always give this character a flaw. But it's like a 6th grader or 7th grader who's also a superhero.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Bat Kid.
Ooh, Bat Kid is good.
Because he's also a Bat Kid.
Yeah.
For like a baseball team.
Like a Robin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Are there any child superheroes?
The Incredibles. Are there any? Kick-Ass is pretty young.
Yeah, but like
Robin is young.
I'm a crime fighter, problem solver, and also I have to do algebra homework.
Yeah, right. It's kind of Spider-Man-esque. Like, oh, I gotta go stop this bank robbery, but I might get grounded by my uncle.
Come to think of it, why do I care what my uncle thinks at all? I'm fucking Spider-Man.
I shoot fucking cum out of my wrists.
It's not cum.
Well, it's something.
It's it's thread.
Yeah, right.
It's webs.
It's wet. It's wet.
It's webs.
It's wet.
It's not semen.
Yeah.
It's no way.
That's part of the movie.
It's like, remember that Disney show that Ben was doing the voice for? Like Randy Cunningham, fifth grade ninja.
Yeah.
So it's like Daryl McMexican, seventh grade fucking... Dude.
What's his superpower?
He can do homework really fast.
So he's just a smart kid.
He's cheating.
He's a nerd.
He's a nerd. He's a slot. Yeah, because it's always like fantasy wish fulfillment with these things. Where it's like, you're a shy fucking high schooler, but also they don't know that at night you're cool
fighting crime.
Dude. Yeah.
Who is going to play Daryl McMexican is the question.
Well, it's got to be someone who can jump high.
And it's got to be someone who's 12.
Fuck.
Or at least can play 12.
Interesting.
I haven't seen you without a beard recently.
I have.
Do you think you still got it?
I'm afraid to shave because I think I have this like rash.
Yeah. It's an abscess more
Is
than
it
a rash. It's
that
open.
The main character, that's
From
what
the
makes
side
him
of
imperfect.
Your face, I
it's
can see your
thick.
Tongue.
Yeah.
Like that's not supposed to happen.
Right. Through the cheek. Mm-hmm. I have a translucent cheek.
Right on.
And
right
it is tongue
on,
in
right
cheek.
On, right on. And it is not super attached, is the thing.
Ends well yet.
Come on.
Why don't we finish this episode the way it was meant to begin? With a poem. An actual farce noir, if you think about
By
it.
By Amir Shakespeare Blumenfeld. You're so fucking proud.
No, I'm not that proud. I'm just happy to be joyous and think about the way that I won and you lost, really.
Totally.
So if that makes me proud, then I guess you can say, death be not proud. For she rang to him. That's just something I invented off the top of my dick.
For she rang to him.
So you can honestly tell how good this one is. Ends well yet. Perilous brothers rate and scheme, bargaining with death and failing. Merrily sisters
Merrily.
Scud far off, last their breath, trading their senses for wailing.
That's good.
Nearest your garments then, that needeth to mend, for all that begins... must needeth to end. Oh, I slammed my laptop on my dick. Oh, I'm shitting myself. Get yourself a Shakespeare who could do both is what I'm trying to say. All right, thanks for listening. Thank you for watching. Always on the YouTubes, always on the Spotify,
right.
The Apple Music,
wherever
you listen.
Always on the Patreon.
Of course. We're also making videos on patreon.com/JA. Every Thursday, if you want more of us, insatiable appetites, you can head over there. And we'll be back next week, shan't we?
Let's do it.
Namaste. Goodbye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody
who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.